Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is former UN ambassador, New York State comptroller, New York State senator, once a candidate for governor of New York, and current chairman of the SUNY Board of Trustees, H. Carl McCall. Mr. McCall served as comptroller of the state of New York from May 1993 to December 2002. Carl McCall has also had a distinguished career as a public servant. He served three terms as a New York State Senator representing the Upper Manhattan District of New York City, as an ambassador to the United Nations, as a commissioner of the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, and as the commissioner of the New York State Division of Human Rights. Mr. McCall has been passionate as an advocate for public education. He served as president of the New York City School Board of Education from 1991 to 1993, where he set policy for the largest school system in the nation, and as chairman of the Public Higher Education Conference Board, a coalition of 14-member organizations which supports a strong and vibrant public higher education system in New York State. He's been active in the private sector. He served as a vice president of Citibank and as corporate director of the New York Stock Exchange, Tyco International, and presently, Ariel Investment. He was educated at Dartmouth College, Andover Newton Theological Seminary, and he's the recipient of 9 honorary degrees. Welcome back, Carl.
Thanks, Al. You know, I think you did that to impress people, but they're not always impressed. I went to speak at a school in Brooklyn a few weeks ago. Teacher introduced me. She read all that. Little girl in the back put up her hand and said, "What's the matter, mister? Couldn't you keep a job?" So two ways to look at that. But it's good to be back with you.
We are all incredibly impressed, and I have always valued our friendship so much and what you've done for so many people. Carl McCall, let's go right to the SUNY job that you have now as chairman of the SUNY Board of Trustees. SUNY has had a lot of challenges. What are some of them?
Well, the biggest challenge we have is really getting the kind of investment in SUNY so that we can serve not only the 460,000 students that we now have, but we can even expand that. We have a goal by 2020. We would like to increase the number of students that we graduate every year. Now we graduate about 93,000 students a year. By 2020, Chancellor Zimpel wants to increase that to 150,000 students. Just think of that, 150,000 graduates going out into the communities right here in New York as educated, trained people, skilled people, providing all kinds of services, contributing to the state's economy. This could be a great contribution, but we can't do it alone. We can't do it just on the back of students. We've got to have an investment by the state of New York. You know, I go around the legislature and I talk to people. They're all interested, but they've got to produce, Alan. We just have not had the kind of investment from the state that gives SUNY the kind of support that it needs to fulfill a very, very big mission in terms of educating people, particularly educating students who don't have a lot of income, students who didn't do well in high school, but still they need an education, because today everybody's got to go to college. If you don't have a college education, you're really in trouble when you go out into the workplace.
So how much does it cost to go to SUNY now?
About the average for a 4-year school, tuition alone is about $6,000. For a community college, tuition alone is about $4,000. If a student boards at the college, gets room and board, that's another $10,000. So,
sorry about this, but the interruption, but by contemporary standards, that's a very low amount.
Very low. It's the lowest in the Northeast. There's no other state system in the Northeast that's low. We're really a bargain. There's no question about that. And I want to put in a word for our other public university. The City University of New York has about the same scale. That is such an important investment by the state, and the state has to look at it that way. This isn't just a place where you're just putting money in and not getting anything. It's an investment. It's producing trained, educated people who come back and make a contribution to the state.
Okay, Carl McCall, I believe you. So here's my next question. Mm-hmm. What's the problem?
The problem is the governor, the legislature, they have to make tough decisions about how they allocate money. And what we're saying is that think about those decisions you make in terms of what is going to pay off. I mean, you know, housing pays off, healthcare pays off, but education, higher education's just got to get a little more attention than we have. Now, let me tell you specifically what we're asking for this year. We're asking the state to give us $50 million a year for the next 5 years. And let me tell you how we're going to use that money. We're going to use that money by putting into programs that work. We have programs now like the EOP program, where we take kids who are marginally prepared for college. We give them additional counseling, additional advisement, additional support so that they finish. We've got some places like Stony Brook University where the EOP students have a better graduation rate than the traditional students. So this is a program that actually works. We've got other programs.
I take it that the Assembly will be all for that.
They will be, and some people in the Senate will be, but not enough. But they all have to come together. We've got to get the Senate, the Assembly, and the governor. They all have to come together and say, look, we're going to make this kind of commitment to SUNY. So if we get that kind of investment fund, not just the more money to thread around, but to invest in programs at work, like the program at the University of Buffalo, where they have a finish in four, a guarantee that if you go to the University of Buffalo for 4 years and take the special programs and services that they offer, you are guaranteed to get your degree in 4 years. And that's so important. You know, people talk about debt, and that's terrible. Students leave with a lot of debt. You know why? Because students get into school, they don't get the right counseling, they don't get the right advice, they don't take the right courses. So instead of finishing in 4 years, they spend 6 years. And that means they spent more money and they leave with debt. They finish in 4 years, they have no or little debt. So that's something that works. We've got a program called Quantway Statway, which is a special way of providing remediation to students who have difficulties with math. We tried that out at Rockland Community College. It's really working. Students are taking developmental math courses, and they're passing. So we want to bring that to scale. We want to use that kind of system throughout SUNY. See, so what we've been doing is experimenting in various colleges, trying to find new ways to provide a real quality education to our students. And when we find something that works, then we've got 64 colleges that we can use that system in.
Okay, there are a lot of people listening right now, Carl McCall, who should know but may not, and I want to assume nothing about what TAP is. What is the Tuition Assistance Program?
Tuition Assistance Program, which is a state program that provides scholarship support to students in public and private schools. So if you go to SUNY Binghamton or if you go to Columbia University, if you are a New York State resident, because of your income, if your income is below a certain threshold, you can get up to $5,500 towards your college expenses. Very few states do that. We should be proud as New Yorkers that we have that kind of program.
How poor do you have to be in order to get that?
I think
that
you
money?
Have to be whatever is the state level or the federal level in terms of poverty.
But there will be middle class, lower middle class people who will not qualify for this.
That's true.
And who get ticked off about this.
They do. And I can understand it. And I would like to raise the limit. So let's say instead of just being at the poverty level, let's lift it up a couple of degrees and say, you know, anybody who makes less than $30,000, you know, they would be eligible. I'm all for that. But again, that's an investment. The state would have to provide more money.
Okay, as they say on the BBC, let's play hardball for a moment. Carl McCall, at one point, you and the governor had some friction. I know that.
We ran against one another.
Yes.
I was ready to run for governor. I had a lot of support. Alan Shartok was with me. I'm about to go. And Andrew Cuomo comes back from Washington. He says, I want to be governor. And so, you know, we had a contest, and I won.
Yeah, yes, you did. It probably rankled you a little bit over the years. It rankled me. And then just before he ran or after he ran, you became the chairman of this of the SUNY board and have been doing a remarkable job.
Thank
Listen,
you.
I've known a lot of chairmen in my time who've been around, and nobody has had the visibility and the presence that you have had
here. Thank you.
So that really speaks so well of what you've been doing. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, you're talking about the investment the state has to make.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So what happens when you, with that whole background I just gave, you pick up the phone and call, say, Andrew, I got to talk to you about this.
Yeah. He listens. He does listen. And we've had these kinds of talks. And, you know, it's like, did you see the picture, Selma?
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember when Martin Luther King says to President Johnson, look, you've got to do something about voting rights. This is really important. You've got... And President Johnson says, but look, Martin, I've got 100 problems I've got to deal with. And so that's what I get from Andrew Cuomo. Carl, I understand it. I'm committed. And he has been. Let me tell you, he's done a lot more than most governors in terms of a commitment to SUNY. And you know why? He understands that one of the biggest challenges in this state is to do something about the upstate economy. You know what we do? We provide the platform for that. Our colleges and in all these towns and cities across New York State, and investing in them means that that money gets spent back into those communities.
Could you help us have this plan of his that his and yours and the Chancellor Zimper came up with about people who build businesses around SUNYs?
Sure. Startup New York. Great idea. Let me tell you what it does. It means if you have a business that wants to relocate or be a startup, you develop a relationship with one of our colleges, they become a tax-free zone. Here's what happens. What the business gets is support from the college. They could get space for the college for their buildings. They could get the faculty to do research. They could get students to be interns. And what happens when they develop that relationship with the college, they pay no state income taxes, no state corporate taxes, no property taxes. And the employees of that particular company pay no state income taxes for 10 years. And we've got
pretty good deal.
It's a very good deal.
Oh, I would like that deal.
I'd like it too. let's start a business, Alan, and take it. But here's the thing. Companies are lining up. They really like it. And it's great for our colleges.
Who wouldn't like it?
Well, certainly, but it's a good thing. But again, it shows that SUNY can be a platform for economic development.
But there's some grumbling, Carl McCall, some of the professors who say, you're making this academic institution into a business thing.
Well, Alan, as a professor, you know some of your colleagues like to complain.
I do.
And we say to them, look, this is consistent with your mission. You will do research. You will better prepare students to go into the world of work because they're going to have these internships. This is a win-win. And you want to grumble, you want to continue to stand up behind a podium and use the notes you've used for 20 years to lecture? Fine, but let's do something new, okay?
Carl, recently the Student Assembly of New York took a position on the idea that I guess the best way to describe it would be that they would be willing, if the state were willing to invest, they'd be willing to allow for a little tuition increase. Is that right?
That's right. What they said, this program we've had, SUNY 2020, which is something the governor instituted with Chancellor Zimper, and over the last 4 years, we're now going to the fifth year of a program whereby we could increase tuition by up to $300 a year. Now, that was a real important thing because it means that what you pay is predictable, is modest, you can plan. In the past, what happened is the legislature and the governor say, you can't raise tuition. So we go 5, 6, 7 years without raising tuition, then it would go up 30%.
Yeah, yeah.
So this way, it's going to be modest, and it's going to be predictable, and it has worked. It's worked for a couple of reasons. One, all of that additional money we've put back into SUNY. We have, for instance, hired 520 new faculty members, 270 of them full-time faculty, and you know how important that is,
indeed,
Alan. So that's what we've done. We've put the money back into the system. We've created 100 new program offerings for students. So we want to continue to do that, to put that money back in to provide better quality services. And the students have said to us that's important, that they and their families are willing to spend a little more money because they will get the services and programs that they want and need. They will have, for instance, seamless transfer. So if you go to a community college for 2 years, you can easily transfer into a four-year college after that. Or you can take courses at Binghamton 1 year, and next year you might want to go take some courses at Buffalo. And you can make those kinds of transfers. So what the students are saying by their own resolution, we are prepared to spend the next 5 years having our tuition increased if necessary. It's not a mandate. We as a board will have to decide every year, do we increase tuition? This enables us to do that up to $300. We may not do it. We may do it for $100, you know, whatever we need. But they say in exchange for what we're willing to do, we want the state to invest in SUNY. We want the state to provide the $50 million over the next year, over the next 5 years that the chancellor has called for. So, you know, this is it. It's a partnership. The students will do their part, but they want the state to do its part.
Now, I don't need to tell you that rape on campus has become a very important subject.
Oh, it's a terrible situation.
Yeah, and there is a plan afoot advanced by the governor, chancellor, you. What is it?
Well, it's to really take sexual assault seriously, to say that there's zero tolerance for it. And we, therefore, have to have some process whereby students get the message that their personal relationships have to be reasonable, disciplined. For instance, if men and women are involved in intimate relationships, those have to be based on the woman giving her consent that that relationship should go forward in an intimate way.
But the devil's in the details here.
But here's what's most important about Alan. I think it's most important is that they're getting this message that if something happens and you think as a woman or man that you've been assaulted, that you will have people trained and willing to stand up for you and support you, and you do not have to hide that. What is really the issue now is that women are assaulted in their dormitories and other places, and they're ashamed and they're unwilling to come forward and report it because they don't think people understand and will be helpful and will try to push this under the rug. Because what's happened in the past is colleges haven't always reported these kinds of incidents because they think they will look bad. You know, if you're the president of X college and you are, you know, students on your college are being assaulted, you don't want that in the press. Well, forget that. It might have to go in the press, but it has to be reported, and we have to investigate it, and we have to deal with it, and we have to have sensitive people who will help those students who have been in that situation to help them to get the attention and the support that they need to overcome what is a very traumatic and very, very terrible incident.
I don't know how to put this, but obviously for those people who have men, children, who get into dating situations, and every once in a while you hear about some horrific thing where there's been a false accusation or something like that.
That's true.
So you've got to be very, very careful about doing this without the presumption of guilt.
Of guilt. That's the other side. That's what I said about sensitive people. You know, that's it. I've heard since we've talked about this policy, and the governor wants to, we started with SUNY, and now the governor wants to take it to other schools. And I understand that. And that's why I stress sensitivity, that the people who deal with this have to be trained. And that's what's going on now. We're doing training on our campuses so that if somebody comes and reports it, there's a real consideration for what you have been through. But there's fairness in terms of looking at the person who was the alleged perpetrator to make sure that person's, you know, concerns are brought into it. They have a chance to give their side of it, and that there are reasonable judgments about what went wrong.
Carl McCall, you, of course, are one of the most distinguished people in public policy in the history of New York. I mean that.
You,
of course, have a specific sensitivity in that you are black. Ferguson, can you just take a few seconds? Because then I want to come back and I want to ask you about the ethics stuff that's going
on.
Sure,
okay. Ferguson just shows that, Alan, that racism is not dead in the United States. We have a black president, but that doesn't mean that it's gone away. There are still lingering attitudes that people have about race. Race is a tough issue. It always has been a tough issue. And what you had in Ferguson was a town where the people who were in charge were terribly, if not racist, but terribly insensitive to the needs and concerns of the majority population of black people.
Okay, is that true in New York City, too?
Not as much as it was. I mean, it lingers everywhere, but it's not as much as it was. Stop and frisk. The fact that the majority of the people who were presumed to need to be stopped and frisked happen to be African-Americans or Hispanics. And I'm delighted that Mayor de Blasio and Bill Bratton are trying to address that situation. So, yes, there are these lingering prejudices and attitudes about certain people being inferior and not deserving the services that everybody else gets.
So it's
and
not
we've got to keep working on
it's
that.
Not Ferguson
just Ferguson.
Itself.
It's the United States of America, always has been, and we've got to be vigilant and we've got to address it and do whatever is necessary to change that.
You're a state, you were, of course, a state senator, a very prominent state senator. You represented Manhattan or a good part of Manhattan.
That's right.
So now there are incredible calls for ethics reform.
Yeah, sure.
Mr. Schneiderman, the attorney general, has just called for no outside employment for state legislators. What do you think?
I think that that ought to be considered, along with other provisions that are there. There's no question. It's very disturbing. As a former senator, and I look back and see the people who were senators who went to jail, people in the assembly went to jail, people have been charged with corruption. This is terrible. I mean, for New York, we ought to do better. So we've got to make some changes. And one of the changes is how do we deal with outside income? If we're going to allow people to have outside income, there's got to be full disclosure. How much are you getting? What are the sources of your income? What do you do for the people who
they don't want to do
income?
It?
Well, they don't. Well, Alan, you've got to talk about it. I'm willing to talk about it. Snyderman's talking about it. The governor's talking about it. We've got to do it. Or else we have to simply say that we're going to give legislators more money. Now, that's another thing. People do need outside income because we pay so little. Legislators haven't had a raise in, 11 years?
Right.
I mean, that's ridiculous. So, let's understand that we should give people a decent salary, and therefore we should limit the amount of income they can get from outside sources. But most importantly, we've got to make sure it is disclosed. What's the source of that income? What did you do for it?
Should that apply to wives and girlfriends?
That's a good one, Alan. It certainly should apply to spouses, but today relationships fluid and different than what we've known. So I don't know how to determine what is a legitimate girlfriend.
I'm leaving you off the hook on that one because we only have a minute left. But I am interested in the Port Authority of New York.
I used to be a commissioner of the Port
Authority. I knew that, and that's why I'm asking you this
Port
question.
Port agency.
Well, it's all messed up.
It is all messed up. It's got to be reformed. I'm disappointed that some reform provisions have come forward and neither Governor Cuomo nor Governor Christie has approved them. I think they should look at that, and I think they should make some changes. It's a very important institution. I tell you, when I was there, Mario Cuomo appointed me to the Port Authority, and he was very disappointed. He said, "You're representing the Port Authority, not New York," and that's true. The Port Authority is a very special bi-state agency, and we've got to really look at what it needs to do for the region. It can't be each governor's place where you put a lot of people who are not qualified, as Chris Christie has done, or where you just go for your own special projects. You go to the Port Authority for projects that are going to develop the region.
Well, we love Carl McCall, and I can't tell you how important it is that you keep honoring us by being here, Carl, and thank you so much. Our guest has been former New York State Controller, State Senator, current Chairman of the SUNY Board of Trustees, and 1,000 other things, H. Carl McCall. Carl, thanks so much for joining us. We just love having you here.
Thanks, Alan, for providing a forum for me and others to talk about the important issues that affect New York. You've been doing that so well for so long. Keep it up, my friend.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.